People sleeping in the streets, untreated mental illness, and drug addiction are widespread issues in cities across the continent, and municipal governments are scrambling to respond. John Stark is the manager of community planning at the City of New Westminster.
We know with regards to the pandemic that all municipalities, with regards to these crises, there's been an increase. Between 2020 and 2023, based on our point-in-time homeless count, there was a 65% increase in homelessness in New Westminster. And our neighboring municipalities had similar or higher increases in homelessness. Combined with that, we have the opioid epidemic. And we also know with the pandemic that isolation became an issue. A number of faith-based and nonprofits closed their doors, just like civic facilities. And this really, for people who were dealing with mental health issues, there was definitely individuals who self-medicated to deal with this isolation and loneliness.
Instead of trying to solve each crisis independently, the Crisis Response Project aims to understand how each issue affects the other and to find compassionate, innovative, and goal-driven ways to address the crises.
The Crisis Response Pilot Project addresses the three crises of homelessness, mental health, and substance use. So we saw these three crises definitely take hold. And as a municipality, we realized that the status quo couldn't continue, that if we really wanted to make progress, we couldn't just look at one crisis because we'd have limited effectiveness. We'd have to look at three because they're interrelated. We also recognized that these are senior government responsibilities, but we needed to do something in the interim as we work with the senior levels of government with regards the funding and resources.
The project, initially launched in September, is a new approach based on lessons learned from wide-ranging research into existing literature and approaches taken by other municipalities around the world. Brad Davey is New Westminster's assistant fire chief.
The most unique part, I think, is our approach. One of the first things that we did is we looked at some of the literature that is out there. And as John has already said, we looked at all the other municipalities. We're not actually copying what anybody else has done. Instead, we're trying to cherry pick the approaches from the other different municipalities that are working. And then we have quite an active program involved to try to make sure that we engage everybody so that we can be an iterative in our approach and then we can adjust to identify any gap that's being missed or anything that we need to engage or to include anybody that could be affected by these crises, so that they have a voice to point us in the right direction if we need to improve anything.
The project is still in its infancy, having launched less than 3 months ago, and Davey and Stark recognize that solutions will not be immediate. Despite the long-term outlook, there are already some positive early results.
These types of changes, like we're talking about supportive housing, it's a two-year pilot project. Some of these changes will take 3 to 5 years longer, really for substantive change to be seen. So we have to show in that two-year period that we are making progress, that plans are in place. We've heard from businesses and residents that they want a vision. For some businesses, they're looking at potentially extending their leases. They want to know what the plan is for the city. So we're looking at that. A big part of that is relationship building with the senior levels of government, either for funding this pilot beyond the 2 years or addressing the needs and gaps related to the three crises. And we've had a lot of success. I mean, an initial piece of success was human waste is an issue in our city. Businesses and residents raise it on a pretty well daily basis. It's an issue in all municipalities. But we worked with BC Housing. We now have a sanitation trailer, which offers toilets, sinks, and showers. It operates 24/7. It has attendant services, and BC Housing is covering the full cost of that. So that's been a plus, and we're starting to see some of the positive impacts with regards to a reduced amount of human waste and fewer complaints.
Getting residents and businesses on board will be essential to the project's success. So public engagement is a key focus, with plenty of feedback already gathered.
We've actually done more than one public engagement session. We've met on several occasions with the Downtown Residents Association, on several occasions with the Downtown Business Improvement Association. We had a joint session with the Downtown Business Improvement Association, the Chamber of Commerce, where we also reached out to faith-based and nonprofits. I will say with residents and businesses, there is kind of a wait and see, you know, wanting to see how the situation will improve and a lot of questions. But I will say, I think when the information is shared and they get a better understanding of the scope of the pilot and the fact that it's iterative and it is being independently evaluated and it's based on best practices. I think if we can demonstrate that we're not only meeting the needs of the unhoused and those living with mental health and substance use issues, but businesses and residents as to some of the impacts they're experiencing, I think we'll definitely get more buy-in for the pilot. And we're hoping that businesses and residents will help us advocate for needed services and supports, including supportive housing. And part of that is being out in the community, answering questions, being accessible.
While there are questions about whether the city should be funding this project, which tackles issues that are typically the responsibilities of provincial and federal governments, and about the effectiveness of certain proposed solutions, Stark says that the Crisis Response Pilot Project arose from a need to take action instead of waiting for a perfect, fully funded solution from senior levels of government.
With regards to businesses, we have to realize if we're bringing people inside, whether that's a 24/7 emergency shelter or that supportive housing, those individuals are not sheltering in parks and business alcoves and doorways, open burning to keep warm or to cook, discarding belongings. They have access to toilets, which they may not have. So really, in a lot of ways, it's addressing some of the issues which they're concerned about. And I think we have to change the conversation around that. And part of that is bring them on side that not doing anything is not an option anymore, that we need to do something and that this will have positive impacts. It may take some time, but it will have positive impacts. And enforcement is also not a solution because it just moves the issue from one area to another. And the courts have stated that people are allowed to shelter overnight in public places. So we do have to look at longer term strategies.
The New West Crisis Response Pilot Project presented an update to New Westminster City Council on November 18th, and will continue to work towards solving the intersecting crises of homelessness, mental health, and substance abuse while continuously gathering data and modifying its approach accordingly.
There are too many people right now who are unhoused, who are living with mental health and substance use issues. So my hope is that we do provide those facilities, services, and supports so they can become either sheltered or housed, stabilize their lives, connect to services, and over a period of time, have the ability to be part of a community. And that's so important, that whole belonging, connecting. I've always heard that one of the, for someone who's unhoused, is that feeling of feeling invisible, sitting on a sidewalk and people just walking by and not noticing them. I want to see these individuals feel part of a community, feel connected to a community, feel valued, and have the ability to make a contribution. And I also realize, being a social planner, because I'm going through two temporary use permits related to shelter proposals, is that the community better understands these issues, recognizes just how even childhood trauma can impact a person for the rest of their lives, and through providing supports and services, that change can happen.
From New Westminster, Jesse Wentzloff, CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, reporting. This coverage is made possible by the Community Radio Fund of Canada's Local Journalism Initiative. You can also find this story online at frequencynews.ca.